Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 46 in the King James Version. Tonight will be what I think will be short and sweet, hopefully, unless I decide to get up here and get long-winded, which is not in my plan. I'm a long-winded person, so I don't know. But, you know, what's kind of been on my heart lately is, Lord, teach me how to deal with people better. Teach me how to deal with people better. Sometimes when I lay down at night and I reflect on the day, which I encourage everybody to, you know, when you lay down, examine what your day has been. Ask the Lord where you failed. You may not even have to ask Him. You may already know. But I think self-examination is a powerful thing. The Lord says if we would judge ourselves, He wouldn't have to judge us. And there's a lot of times where when I lay my head down to rest, I find myself saying, Lord, help me to deal with people better. Lord, I didn't take today so well with so-and-so or this or that. And it's important for the believer to know how to deal with people, because people are not going away. We are here, and people is the only thing that we can take to heaven. And so we need to know how to deal with other folks. And some people are easy to deal with. Some people are hard. And sometimes we just get in a season where maybe we're burnt out and we just don't want to deal with anybody. I get that. But let's go to the Word, because the Word defines how we're supposed to be in every season that we could be in. And I'm just going to break it down, because God tells us what to do with people. He tells us how to treat them. He tells us, He just calls them out very specifically. And it says here in verse 44, and when you read in certain Bibles, I believe Dad's Bible here is one of these.
Kenneth Hagin.
But how many of you have a Bible where you can see this in red?
Yeah.
Amen. Those came directly out of the mouth of Jesus. And so when you read and you see something written in red, it came directly from His mouth. The Word of God was inspired by the Lord, but the things in red are stuff that Jesus specifically said. He took the time to specifically address something. And so in His own words, He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Love them. He gives us specific things to do with specific types of people. And I've heard this verse my entire life. But, you know, sometimes you acquire enemies because you had a falling out or a misunderstanding. Sometimes you acquire enemies because people just, they don't know why they don't like you. They just don't like you, and they're not for you. And what I can say in life is I've lived long enough to experience that. There's some times where we beat ourselves up and we're thinking, you know, what did I do to this person? And what you have to understand is there's times where you didn't do anything to them. They just don't like you. And that is reality. And I believe in what God has inspired me to do, especially in this season, and that's why I'm out here behind the pulpit saying this, is just to explain life to people from a biblical standpoint. And so you're going to have enemies. However you got them is really irrelevant, because at the end of the day, at the bottom line, you're going to have enemies. However you got them, you're going to have them. Some people have more than others. I think that a lot of people in leadership, they have more enemies because they've had to say no. I mean, nothing really prepared me for that part in the ministry where people would just not like you because you've had to say no, because you've had to be the one that says, this is how it's going to happen. And so you have to be comfortable having your enemies. I don't like having enemies. I don't, whatever, but I am getting, and I've not arrived yet, but I'm getting to that place in life where I understand I'm going to have them. And what I need to do and what I'm going to encourage you to do is the word. And God tells us what to do with the enemies that we have. And he says, love them. Love your enemies. Love them. There are times where I don't have the love for people that are my enemies. And when I don't, I pray and I say, Lord, what I don't have for them, Lord, put it inside of me for them. Sometimes you're not going off of your own strength, your own ability, your own love. There are times where you're going to have to go off of God and what he has for other people and what he can do through you. But for your enemies, the word of God says to love them, to love them. It's not easy to do. Because there's times where you got those enemies because they did something wrong to you. We want to justify why we do things to other people or why we sin in our heart because of the way we allow our heart to feel about them. But at the end of the day, God says, I'm requiring you to love them, to love them. The next thing it says, bless them that curse you. Bless them. So we see here that we've got to love our enemies. The second thing that we have to do is the people that curse us, speak ill of you, don't like you, talk bad about you, that you're to bless them, to bless them. Another tall order, bless them. Bless them that curse you. Bless them. There's a lot of times where I have a knockdown drag out with my own self and I have to get myself to act on this part of the word because the last thing on earth I want to do is bless them. Keep that real with you. It's not human nature to want to do all this stuff to people that aren't good to you or haven't been nice to you or hurt your family or hurt your kids or whatever. I was in Walmart several weeks ago. And I almost take things better when people do something to me than to do it to people that I love. And there was someone that was being mean to someone in the church. And not only were they being mean to them, but they were talking about me. I don't even know them. But because the wonderful people in the church come here, they just swooped us all up and talked bad about us all and was mean to all of us. Well, I saw this person in Walmart, and I got the biggest urge to be everything that these verses are not. And I was like, God, are you seriously saying that I cannot confront them? Because that part of me, the shepherd part, the protective part, wants to just lay into them. And I'm not saying that, Paul, I've never laid into to folks, because let me tell you, I have fallen short probably more times than I've gotten it right. But I am at least working on it at this season of my life. And I just had to really get a hold of myself, and I had to just invite God to be in that moment with me, because God was saying, no, I can't bless that. I can't bless you if you're not going to bless that person. Well, how am I going to bless them? Well, you're going to keep your mouth shut and let them exist in this store with you, and you turn the other cheek. You know, the Word of God says that when somebody does something to you, offer them the other cheek. I hate that part of the Word because it makes me realize that I have to do that when I don't want to. The last thing I want to do is offer someone the other cheek when they've already smite me on the one they just did. But what I am beginning to understand about God is that he that winneth souls is wise, and your enemies are looking at you. They're looking to see if you're really who you say that you are. On your worst day, can they tempt you to get up out of who you're supposed to be and act out? And the biggest testimony that we can ever minister is to the people that we call enemies. And so it says to bless those that curse you. Bless them. That's not easy. Do good to them that hate you. So now, We have to, our first thing that it says to do is to love them. And that's an emotional thing. Love is an emotion. It's an action. It's also a noun. It's so many things. But loving people gets into your world of emotions. Blessing them is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing to get up in your car when you didn't cuss somebody out and say, God, instead of me cussing them out, I'm just going to ask you to bless them. Now, I wasn't going to cuss them out, but I wanted to at least tell them off. And I didn't get to do that either. Now, I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect person. But what I can do is keep it real in hopes that if I can keep it so real here, you can keep it so real in your own life. It's when people look at the pastor like they never do anything wrong, and then they think, well, I've just got to fake all this because I want to fit in and be a believer, and this, my pastor is perfect. No, you don't have a perfect pastor. You absolutely don't. And you catch me on a bad day, you'll see that in my life. But I've committed myself to produce a certain type of person who's going to sit under here. And what I want people to be is just real. Just real. Keep it real and don't confuse yourself with faking stuff. So it says, do good to those that hate you. So now we're having to actually put some action towards people that there's an issue with. Do good to those that hate you. About a year ago. See, the only way I can really teach people is to just teach them out of my life, because if I teach it out of other people's life, they'll get offended and accuse me of telling all their business. But I can certainly preach my life, and I don't care to do that. About a year ago, I went to the post office, checked the church's mail, and I had a 3-page letter about how terrible of a pastor I was because we had a donation jar at the food distribution on Wednesdays. And I knew exactly who it was in that moment who did that. And it made me super bitter. It just made me bitter. Because people are always expecting something for nothing. I will keep this real. If I don't do anything else, if I get up here and tell you what a failure I've been, but I've kept it real, I've been a successful pastor. Paul, I got very bitter. I just did. Because it took the joy out of the calling that I was called to do. I'm going to give you some of the best advice that I wish I could tell myself a year ago. Don't allow people to take the joy out of what your calling is. Amen. I'm still not good at that today, but there's at least been an improvement. There's at least been an improvement. I got so bitter, I told Sherry. Every pastor needs certain types of people, and most of those people that I need so much are right here in this congregation. If I didn't have y'all, I would really be up a creek. Y'all are the backbone of the church. You really are. And I told Sherry, look, these people wrote me a nasty letter. It was 3 pages, and now I feel like an awful person, and this has made me just really bitter at this whole situation. I said, I don't even want to look at them. And there for a couple weeks, I would see, they would be first in the line. Always make sure they're first. And then 3 pages worth of awfulness. And I don't get over things very quickly. Do y'all get over stuff quick? Because, I mean, I don't. I'm going to keep that real. I don't get over stuff quickly, Dwayne. I'm just going to tell you, there's something inside of me where I've always struggled to get over things quickly. I just have trouble in that area of my life. And so for the first couple weeks, when I would see them, it would make me so bitter that I would just walk off. I'd leave Sherry there and I would just walk to the man of sinner, just giving myself a good 30 seconds to just not look at their face because I was so irritated that they were the way that they were. And then God got a hold of me and he said, Kelly, you're going to look them in the face and you're going to tell them, God bless you. Well, crap. That's the last thing I want to do, Lord. I'm already giving them food. They're jerks. They've told me what an awful person I am and all this stuff. And I got to a point in that, see, if you'll allow God to correct you when it comes to your enemies, when it comes to people who haven't been good to you, God will not only correct you, but he will give you more power than what you had when you first started having the problem with them. We ask God for power. We ask God for all these things. But what God needs to put inside of us most of the time is more integrity. And as soon as I was able to get that down, God bless you, I didn't mean it the first few times. I said a few things in my head. But it got to a point, Miss Gina, where I believe in the Word of God when it says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And I got to that point in my life where I could look at those people and I could just say from the very bottom of the pastor that I am, while letting her hold the donation jar, God bless you. And mean it. And mean it. See, God wants to help you to learn how to handle people that's not been good to you. And it's one of the hardest things that you're going to ever do, because what it's going to do is it's going to make you feel like, in a way, that you're losing. When you feel like you let somebody get something over on you, we feel like we lost. Let me tell you something. I don't know what God has done in the hearts of those people, but I didn't lose and neither did God. And I know that. I know it. But God's saying, bless those that curse you. Bless those that curse you. I got to a point when I saw people putting the groceries in their car, I would speak over that box. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that every time they eat that food, God, that they're blessed. God, that they're blessed because they know that you did that. Lord, not only they know that you did it, but they know who you sent to get it done for them. So it says, bless those that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How many of you have ever felt like somebody just used you up for everything that you had and then they were done with you? Why are we talking about this type of stuff? Because I want to get down, and God wants to get down to what you're really struggling with in your life. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And if you are a believer, when somebody uses you, they've used God first. They've used him first. One of the things that I'm not good at is I take things very personal. Anybody else like that? I take things very personal to a point where it affects me in a really bad way. God is working with me. And he tells me on a daily basis, Kelly, do not take this personal. They're really not doing this to you. They're doing it to me. And you're going to just have to see that. Now, most of the time, your family and probably your parents are going to know you better than anybody. And I have always been a daddy's girl, I'm going to tell you. And this morning, I Jill, it was so funny. And those of you that have grown kids, understand this. Your kids still need you in a huge, huge way. They just need you in a different way. They're not little anymore. I opened the door, Paul. I got 1 foot out. And it must have just been the way I put my foot out the door. Here's Dad. What's wrong? And I'm trying to hold it all together. See, sometimes you're not going to be able to hold it all together. But I was driving today to church this morning, and I got in Subiaco where the, what is that gas station called? The Outpost. I love the Outpost. I walked in there one day, and this lady goes, "What do you do for a living?" I mean, I'm just in there to get a Coke, and she starts getting personal with me. I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." She goes, "Oh, my God, you're a woman pastor? I think that's awesome." I was thinking, I don't feel awesome. I feel like most of the time people hate me for that very reason. Anyways, I'm in Subiaco, and I'm having a conversation with the Lord. And here was the conversation, and God began to open this very verse up to me because I was sitting there having a pity party on the way to church this morning. I woke up, and I was not in a real great mood. And I could feel just a wave of sadness trying to come over me. And that's when God began to tell me, Kelly, there's other people in the church and they have felt this exact thing. You need to pray over that. And that's why we had that prayer today. But I get there and pulled right in front of me is Mom and Dad. And I was literally having a conversation with the Lord in my mind. And I was saying to God, Lord, I feel very used up. Because, God, I feel like I've been the very best that I could be, and it wasn't good enough for some people. And I just feel used. Do you ever just feel used? Like, there's times where you just feel like somebody doesn't want anything else to do with you because they've gotten everything that they can get. And sometimes your pastor feels that way just because of just the regular stuff that goes on a daily basis. Mom and Dad get right in front of me. And here I am in the middle of my pity party. And I start following them. And God starts talking to me. And I begin to thank God for all of the people in my life that have been nothing but good to me. And I started with my parents. You can focus on all the jerks in your life, and there's probably plenty of them, and you can get sad and you can get depressed over them. I've done all of that. But if we can live this verse out, we'll have a better mind frame. It says, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And in verse 45, it tells us why we need to do these things. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. See, so many people, they say, yeah, I'm saved. I got saved when I was this old. You know what? Let me tell you something. I rededicate my life to God every day. I give Him my life every day. I don't think I just was saved when I was 7. God has saved me many, many times. We have to live this part of the Word out because that's what truly makes us. the children of God. It goes on to further say, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward do you have? Do not even publicans the same?" I'm going to get this other part in this NIV translation. It says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And what the word is saying is, I am challenging you. These are the words in red that came directly from the mouth of Christ. I challenge you to love people that haven't been good to you. Love your enemies. Bless people that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for the people that have used you and persecuted you and been mean to you. Because then and only then are you a true child of God. Do these things because that's the qualification to be his kid. Even sinners can love people that love them. Even sinners do that. God's asking us to be totally saved. This stuff up here isn't easy to do, and I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot of days I don't want to do it. Don't allow people to make you hate what you're doing for God. Don't be defined by how people treat you. Dad's like, come in here, we're going to talk. And a lot of times this dad, I don't like to trouble him, and I got news for you. If you've got an adult kid, they don't want to trouble you. And I tried to just blow him off. It's fine. Christy, about the third, it's fine. I'm just weeping. Because, see, I couldn't even get my foot out the door without him knowing something's wrong. Like I said, it was probably the way I put my foot out the door. And he just took me by the hand and he said, Kelly, God wants you to enjoy this. Don't let people take the joy out of what you're doing. I say that to you also. Don't allow people to take the joy out of what you're doing for God. I see that van over there sometimes parked first. They've missed a lot.
They missed a lot and we missed them. I mean, to be honest.
We really did. I started missing those jerks. I was like, God, are they okay? Lord, what happened? Well, they rolled up 2 or 3 weeks ago and they told us all the awful stuff that had happened. Now, Kelly, a year ago, in my head, I'd be like, yeah. Thank you, God. You had my back. They told us all that bad stuff a couple weeks ago, and Christy, in my brain, I said, God, show mercy to them. Lord, help them. God, make it up to them. It seems like they've had a hard time. Look here. I think that sometimes people get so used to being wicked and awful that that's just what they are. I hate to just sound like that. Sometimes people just become wicked and mean. And you know what? Don't let that get off on you. God loves wicked people. God loves people that haven't been good to you. He loves them. And if he can show himself to them through you, he'd love to have that opportunity. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 15. I don't want y'all to think, negatively about me, but what I want you to understand is the same problems that you have, I have them too, in a lot of ways. And I will keep it honest with you. I'll share with you my failures. I'll share with you where I've had success. I'll share with you what God's doing in my life, because that's how we really grow. That's how we really help people, is to just keep it honest. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. On my best day, here's how I handle people that aren't great to me. Here's what I let go on inside of my heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. There's going to be something that's ruling you every day that you wake up. It can be chaos. It can be irritation, aggravation, or it can be peace. But something will rule you inside of every day. It needs to be peace. If you get in a moment where you are feeling like you're losing your peace, you need to stop right there in the moment. You need to say, Lord, give me back that peace. Lord, I thank you for the peace that's coming up inside of this heart. Lord, let it rule all day long. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. And be thankful. Sometimes we are so busy looking at what we're got that's not going right, we forget to be so thankful for the things that are going right. This morning I was telling God what I didn't have. And they're not material things. It's just things I thought that I didn't have. And he said, Kelly, focus on what you do have, because you have more than most. I said, God, these other pastors, blah, 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 blah. No, Kelly. You're not other pastors. See, anytime you're going to put yourself against somebody else and compare yourself, you're going to lose. Because you're never going to be what you think somebody else is. You can only be you. And the only thing you can do with you is be the best version of yourself. And it says, so let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Actually, I'm going to go to 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. See, the Word of God wants to not just be in you, but it wants to live in you. It wants to dwell in you. Miss Becky, there's times where I'm very troubled, but because of the Word that's I've let live there and that I've put inside of there, there's parts of me that the Kelly 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't even get messed up over some of the same stuff that I used to. Because I've been around long enough and I've loved God enough and I've been saved long enough that I know at the end of the day, I don't have to know how God's going to work it out, but I do have to know that He is. He always has. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If you struggle with people, another great piece of life advice that I'm going to give you, and I'm sure that everybody has said this at least once. Some of us may catch ourselves saying it more than we even realize. There's times where you feel used by people. There's times where you feel like people haven't been great to you. And your mind wants to go to all the things that you've done for them, all the ways that you helped them, all the ways that you were there for them, all the stuff. And your brain wants to go to that place. One of the best pieces of advice that I could give you just as another believer, when you do something for another person, if you will have the attitude and if you will make yourself live by this code, you will do better. Your mental health will be better. Whatever you do for somebody, Brenna Babe, what we got to do is we got to say, I'm not doing this for Sally Sue, but God, I'm going to do this for Sally Sue for you. God, what I do for a person, I'm doing this ultimately for you. People will let you down. They don't mean to. People will be jerks. Half the time they mean to and half the time they don't mean to, but doesn't take away from the fact, people will be people, and we will be people. How many of you have been a jerk last week at some point? You was a jerk. All right. Okay. So I'm up here preaching about jerks, knowing full well we've all been one in the last week. That's just humanity. Whatever you do, do it for God. I was telling God today, this is so bad, but I love y'all enough, and I know y'all love me enough that you're not going to sit there and think I'm just terrible, but Brenda Babe, I was telling God, I did this and this and this and this, and I had all my fingers out. And then Daddy gets in front of me, and I'm like, if I can just get out of this world being half the pastor he is, and God said, nope, quit comparing yourself. I want you to be who you are. And Kelly, stop saying what you did. You did it, but you did it for me. Stop acting like it's these people. You did it for me. Leave it at that. You'll do better. So when we do things, this is not easy to do. How many of you know how hard this is to do? It's difficult. Because we want to go to that human side where we feel like people owe us. And you know what? People should do better. But we can't expect ourselves out of other people. We can hope that they'll be a good people. Sometimes people are going to fail you. If you won't take it personal, you'll do better. Kelly, you did that for me. Let's leave it at that. So it says there, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Go with me to verse 23 in that same chapter. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Sometimes our heart gets messed up because of people. Look here. Psalm 23, He restores my soul. God will restore you over and over and over. He will fill you up over and over and over. When you feel like you've been wronged, God will make things right on your behalf. You be who you're supposed to be. Live out the word. It is not easy to deal with people, but you know what? God did not have an easy job when He has dealt with us at times. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. I could work a whole lot harder for God than I could people. I said, I could work for God a whole lot better and easier than I can people. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. A couple weeks ago, I wanted to spend some time with Dad. And we were over there at a pop-up pantry on a Friday. I told Sherry, I said, Sherry, me and Dad are going to go spend some time together. You got this? And she said, I got it. Well, here's two things that Dad and I love, and we've always loved them. Don't get mad at me if you don't agree with it. We like to eat. I bet you couldn't guess. And we like to test drive cars. And I'm just disappointed that there has not been one car that's just really spoke to me that says, you got to have me. It's all ugly and it's all overpriced. We went out to Red Lobster. Ate all these biscuits. All I was thinking was the bathing suit that I bought. because this is the first year that I bought a mom bathing suit that's really like a skirt, because I'm just uncomfortable with myself. And I've reached that point of life where I'm like, oh my God, I never thought I was going to be in one of these skirt shindigs. I told Frank, I tried it on for Frank, and I said, are you going to be super embarrassed of me when I go to the water pool like this? Let me tell you, I went up to that pool, and I had let people aggravate the darn crap out of me so bad, I didn't even get up in that mom suit. And I sat there at the wave pool, and I was just telling God how sick of everything I was, and God was just correcting me the whole time. And here's me and Dad, couple weeks ago, we was eating Red Lobster biscuits. And we test drove these cars. That was a disappointment. See, sometimes you done got yourself in a bad mood and we want to blame it on other people when really we got ourselves there. And I thought, I'm going to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom doing my business. And there's this little girl in the stall right beside me. And that little girl brought more joy to me than the biscuits, than the car driving, than the all of it. And she was dancing to the music in the women's bathroom with her feet. And she had some rainbow shoes on. I was like, my God, I love this kid. I don't know who she is. She gets out of the bathroom. I get out of the bathroom. We're washing our hands. And we were both trying to get paper towels. And Red Lobster is chintzy. They give you this much paper towel. And you got to just keep on putting your hand under there like you're praising the Lord. Praise God. And I looked at the little kid and I said, they're really chintzy on these paper towels, aren't they? She said, yeah. Well, I just thought there was something about this kid that she just really brightened my day. It's not that there was anything, it was just, I had been in such a bad mind frame. And we go and sit down. She was sitting in our section. Then Dad gets up and he says he has to pee. We're both getting older. I'm like, well, you go pee. I just did. We're great. I'm going to hold down the table for you. Well, they start bringing this little cheesecake out, and they start singing Happy Birthday, and I look over, and it's for this little girl. Oh, and God just began to speak to me, Kelly, get your joy back. If you got a happy feet dance in the bathroom stall, or if I got to send a little kid in there to get you straightened out and lined out, I want you to get yourself, check yourself. And I looked at this little kid, and she was just having the best time. And I thought, you know what? I want to bless this little kid because she's blessed me. So you can just let people wear you out, wear you thin, get you all irritated. Or you can allow people to bless you. Can you find joy in just some everyday things? Get your joy back. Whatever God's called you to do, do it with joy. Don't do it for people. Do it for God. That'll keep you. And I walked over there, and I think this was her grandma. I said, can I bless her? She said, well, absolutely. I gave this little kid $20. You'd have thought I gave her $1,000,000. And I walked out of Red Lobster. I had told Dad, give me the keys because I don't like to sit there and wait in public. When I'm done, I'm done. I want to go. I gave this little girl $20 and walked out of there, and that is the best I have felt in a long time. And I'm going to leave you with this tonight. The very words God spoke to my heart as I walked down the stairs. Kelly, I have blessed you to be a blessing. I've given you power to walk into your anointing. You have the anointing every day to be a blessing. Be the blessing. Be the blessing. And don't let anybody take that from you. See, the devil would love to come in and get you upset, get you bitter, get you to sitting there thinking of all the things that people have done wrong to you. See, in Corinthians, you'll see that love keeps no record of wrongs. And sometimes what you got to do is just give God that book. You're better at letting things go. If you've got a record book in your brain, you need to submit that to God. Because ain't nobody keeps records as good as God does. And if you've been wronged, God will right you every time. Every time. Dad, do you have anything you'd like to share or say?
You know, I think one of the most powerful things that a person can learn, and not just learn, but it's a skill that everything you do, you're doing it for God. That took me a long time to learn. But I get peace. I did that for God. I did that for God. That cross behind me is what He did for you. And if you can master the power to just do things for God, you have mastered one of the great attributes of Christian living. We've heard so much good today. You know, I'm a father to anybody that wants to be a father. I'm a father to, according to the book of 1 John, I write unto you fathers. You know, I'm not a father to anybody that wants me to be a father because I'm so great. I'm a father because I've been through what you've been through, maybe worse. And I have learned how to accept and give forgiveness. And you're on your way. You're in a very special place. Some of the greatest miracles in the Bible were done in small settings like this. Did you ever think about that? God brought you here to hear great things. I'm going to be sharing about soul winning, how to treat your family, starting this Wednesday night. I'm going to share it in a whole different way. Joseph made a mistake, but his mistake turned out to be a blessing. He said, you know what, brothers and mom and dad, I had a dream and you were all bowing down to me. Well, his brothers wanted to kill him over that. They said, no, we got one even better. We'll sell it. And when it came down to it, and Jacob died, and all those brothers said, my God, he's going to kill us now. He said, no, he said, you don't understand. You meant it for harm. But God, why does He ask us to forgive? What does it really mean to forgive? To really forgive somebody is when you forgive somebody because of what God did. And when you learn that, you're unstoppable. And I'll tell you, I learned. It's, you know what? I can go into any store. I always hear the same thing. Angelo, son, you can have anything you want. You can drive anything you want. You can live anywhere you want. I was telling Millie today, I said, heck, we could buy an airplane if we wanted to. And I've learned not to share these things with everybody, but I'm sharing with them tonight. Because the important thing isn't that. The important thing is what you can do for God. You know, here we are, specks, and we can touch God's heart. but it's going to cost you everything you've got to do it. You're going to have to get outside of yourself. And you know what? You can't run with everybody. You can't. Like Kelly. Sure. This morning, there's a lot of people we got to throw out of the boat. It just says, you can't run with everybody. But you can sure be kind to everybody. And until you are, until you can do that, and if you can do that, you've arrived. When you can be kind and Christ-like to people that you know are failing you, like the miserable souls that are wondering about why we charge. Do you think we get that food for free? We don't. Well, how do you guys get it? We buy it. Well, how are you able to buy it? By Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God return it to you. For with the same measure you give to others, that's the measure God's going to give with you. And I challenge you to be a tither, to be a giver, to be a forgiver, to receive forgiveness for yourself. And then that's peace. That's peace. I could have peace just in my house. We could have bought a new house 100 times over. We just live in the same house, just like Billy Graham. I understand why I just lived in the same house all those years. I ain't into houses. I'm into moves of God. I want to see God move. In order for me to see God move, I have to act like God. This morning, when I saw my sister Mary, I've known for many, many years, I had a word for her, a word she could feel. No storm lasts forever, and it was for everybody in here. You need to know that. Isn't it amazing how we made it through this storm? I saw Sherry and this one and that one. Join me in praying. Let's believe God together for our community that we're not going to lose. And you know what? We made it through. We made it through. And you know what? We made it through so many, and we're going to make it through so many more. But as we become like Jesus, Johnny, God's not through blessing you and teaching you. He wants to give you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't even hardly know you, but you're standing out just like there's just lights all around you this evening. God wants you to know he's special, and he has special things for you. Can you receive that, Johnny? Good. And I could go on and on, but I'll wait till Wednesday night. I just loved everything I heard. My daughter is beginning to really move in the Word. And the hardest thing, she's beginning to move in the Holy Spirit. See, she's been around that. The anointing is caught, and the anointing is taught. You have to be around people. Whenever I get up and minister in any way, I'm trying to release the anointing on your life. And the anointing brings you hope and inspiration. How many of you feel like you're glad you came tonight? What pastors have to learn? This is what we have to learn. Concentrate on the ones that's here. See? And I've said this from the pulpit, and I still say it. I don't know if you're really with me or with us until we've had two or three fights together. And then we'll see if you're still around. But you're worth God's best. And God gave his best for you, that old rugged cross. You know what it does? There ain't no denominations under that cross. Do you understand? There won't be a Baptist section and a Pentecostal section up there. It's going to be a family. The greatest family reunion. I'm going to ask God, I'll say, Father, at the marriage supper, can I have Millie's French fries? God bless each and every one.
They're good and greasy. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for who you are, God, what all that you've had to say to us today. God, I speak a hedge of protection right now around each person, around each family, around each household. Lord, I ask that you would cause us to be a blessing. Lord, when we want to slip up and step out of your will, God, I ask that you'd guide us right back to where we're supposed to be with you. Lord, I ask that you'd build our tolerance for stuff with people more. God, make us more graceful, more merciful, Lord. And we thank you for everything that you're doing, God, in our lives and in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.